Welcome to the Blueprint Podcast, where we throw out the old blueprint so you can become who you were always meant to be. I'm your host, Jason Smith. And if you haven't already, make sure you click the subscribe button and share this podcast with your friends on social media and tag me in it at JBirdFit.
Welcome. How's everybody doing? So this is my morning. Take a walk with me. For those of you who are new, I'm the take a walk with me guy. Talk about attachment styles, relationship, breath work, nervous system regulation, emotional regulation, navigating relationships. We talk about all the stuff, which is fun for you and for me sometimes. I just posted over on Instagram. I started a new series called Unhelpful because we get a lot of relationship advice or even just statements that we make ourselves based off of our personal experiences that then become barriers to our relationships, to receive giving and receiving love from other people. And it's really hard because we do it to ourselves and we don't know that we do it to ourselves. And that can be really frustrating because we put things outside of us. We expect other people to do all of these things to make us feel good, to make you happy. And you'll hear it all the time from other people that happiness is an inside job. Finding joy is something that you do daily. You have to be able to see it. You have to be a seeker of joy in your life. And joy comes from the mundane. It's the little things in your life. Right now is springtime in Illinois. We're getting close to it. So you can start to see that the trees, you can see the buds, which is another 2-3 weeks, and we'll start to have some leaves. Can you find joy in that moment of being able to wait, right? That we're delaying gratification. We know that in 3 weeks, things are going to be green, and it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be amazing. And I love the smell that comes from some of the trees on this street, and it's such an amazing time. But in that is the joy. I go for a daily walk. Usually I have a 30-pound ruck, but I hurt my back last month. I didn't stop walking. I didn't stop doing the things that I know bring me joy. You work around the injury. I worked around the pain. Going to physical therapy and doing all the things. Go see your doctor if you have issues. It's not my problem. But I work around that because it brings me joy. It makes me feel good. And being able to see the buds come up. And in about a week and a half, you're going to start to see the little green tips of the leaf. And I'm getting down to the micro for a reason, because that's where the joy is. We think it's in the big things. We think it's, if I have $1 million, then I'll have happiness and joy. If I do this really big thing, then everybody around me will give me applause and pat me on the back and say, good job. That's not where the joy is. We have to get happy in the process. We have to get happy in the micro. We have to get happy and joyful in the blades of grass turning green over the next couple of weeks, that transition into spring. Where else can you put that in your life? Where can you get happy and joyful in the mundane? That's why you hear people say, oh, you got to enjoy the process. And then everybody goes, I don't want to be a part of the process. The process is hard. The process hurts. The process is difficult. The process is a mountain that I have to climb that I just don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. But if you can get yourself up out of bed and start pushing on that process, get up and go for those walks, take care of yourself, journal a little bit. I'm not big on a massive morning routine. You don't need it, but you do need some self-care in that process. And that matters to you as the individual. That morning routine, that self-care, and really all you're doing is putting yourself in a place of habit. You don't have great habits right now, and so you can improve on the habit of getting up in the morning and saying, dear God, show me how amazing today can be, or whatever you believe in. I don't care what you believe in. I'm going to be real honest. I know what I believe in, so I say, dear God, show me how amazing today can be. And it's not amazing in that, oh God, you're going to give me $1 million. You're going to give me all these amazing things. No. It's dear God, show me how amazing today can be in that I notice the small thing. I see my dog and that brings me joy. I see the people in my life and I'm with them and I'm present in this moment. Allow me to be present with you so that we can come into community, so we can commune, so that we can get to know each other, so we can have this connection that we all desire and that we need to thrive. And I want to make sure that I'm able to be present in that moment with the people that are closest to me. And of course, with you, when we're in this moment right now together, can I be present with you and pay attention to the comment section and not just spout off a whole bunch of things and talk at you, right? Somebody says, I asked for space for him yesterday for a week, but I regret it and want to call him. Should I? Let's dive into it. You asked for space. Why? Type it in the comments. Why did you ask for space? Doesn't have to be specific, but why did you ask for space? What were you feeling? What were you going through? What was your experience? Drop it in the comment. We'll wait. And by the way, this is what one-on-one coaching looks like with me. We go through the process. You give me something, and then we break it down completely. We've been together for 3 months and been bickering about things I'm sensitive about. Okay. So there's a couple things going on there. We'll go back to the original sentence. You asked for space. So there was a feeling that you were having that was causing you, and you just said that you were sensitive to things that were going on. And the bigger question becomes, why are you sensitive to those things? You need to get clarity on, and this is for a lot of people right now. And you hear it from people like me, Gen X. It's, I get it. You can't be offended by everything. If you're sensitive and offended by everything, that's something that's going on inside of you. And it's why we talk so much about building your self-concept, who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. This is the inner work. This is going into your body. This is understanding your experience as a human. This has nothing to do with anybody else in the moment. This has 100% everything to do with you. Why do you feel the way that you feel? It's an understanding of self. And the problem is, we all have thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And we think that all of those things are just a natural process. But it's your patterns. These patterns are conditioned. These patterns are developed over long periods of time. These are the patterns and habits of your life that you think are you. You think it's you. Now, I'm not saying anything that anybody else hasn't said already. You have to become the observer of your thoughts. You have a thought about something or an emotion, you get to challenge that. Shit, why am I feeling this way? Why in the world right now in this moment as I'm walking down the street talking to people on TikTok, am I feeling emotionally activated? Why am I frustrated? Why is this? This isn't actually going on right now, by the way. But it's an example of you can be doing the most mundane things. And in the mundane, you get presented with something. And you're like, why do I feel like I need space? Why do I need to back away from this? And that's a place to get curious, to dive into, and to start to figure yourself out. Your brain is thinking in a way that is causing you, and your body is bringing up an emotional response to the way that you're currently thinking. And the body doesn't know the difference between happening now and happening then. At any point in time, I can tell you to think a thought, and you can get yourself angry by thinking that thought. And so now you have actively caused yourself in the body to get excited, to become angry, to become frustrated. You did that. It wasn't anything outside of you. You were simply given a prompt and your reaction was a past reaction, something you experienced in the past. Think about this one moment in time or think about this particular activity and all of a sudden you have all these emotions that come up for you. Now, when we talk about self-concept, you begin to know who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. You begin to challenge your thoughts, feelings, and emotions and the power, authority, and agency over all of that. This is also what we call self-mastery. But nobody's perfect with this. This is ever-evolving, ever-changing, and it's a practice that you can get into that allows you to take a pattern interrupt in the moment, to stop things in the moment and begin to think about it, to give yourself some breathing room, to call a timeout, stop, step back, and say, okay, I need to think about this because right now, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I've hit sensory overload and I'm very quickly going to put myself in a place of struggle, of strife, of anger, frustration, irritation, resentment. And then we get stuck on that loop of anger, frustration, irritation, resentment. You get stuck on that And you don't realize that this is something that's internal that's happening to you. It has nothing to do with anything that's going on outside of you. And it's rooted in your core beliefs, what you believe about the world, what you believe about the world and your place inside of the world, and then what you believe about the world, your place inside the world, and your sphere of influence. So a lot of this is rooted in expectation. You have an expectation that all of these things are going to happen that you have no control over whatsoever. You have no control, zero. It's why I don't dive into politics and all this other stuff, because I can't control it. There's nothing I can do in my sphere of influence of 15 feet around me that's going to make a massive difference or impact globally. I can't do it. So I don't put myself in a position to worry about global matters. I'm 45. My life is half over. I can't spend half of my day worried about what's happening someplace else. I can't do it. I'm not in a position of power to physically change anything other than the 15 feet that's around me. And this is what people don't often get, is if you want things to change, if you want things to be different, if you want your sphere of influence to be impactful, if you want to impact change, then you do it at the micro level. You do it at the level that you are capable of doing it at. And that's going to be the 15 feet that is around you currently. And so we start to build better relationships with other people. We start relating a little bit better. We dive into our self-concept. We begin to figure ourselves out. And in that, you become more competent. You become more confident. You become more capable. You become more easily relatable too. People begin to like you a little bit more because you know who you are. Now, the people that don't know who they are, they're going to reject you. They're going to be angry with you. They're going to be resentful. And they're going to be where you were before you developed your self-concept, before you started challenging your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And then you'll begin to see it in other people. You'll be able to see, you're feeling stuck. You have not developed your self-concept. You believe that everything is happening to you. You believe that the outside world is impacting your inner world and causing you turmoil, when it's actually the reverse. You experience that turmoil, frustration, irritation, sadness, pain, resentment, frustration, struggle, strife, and anger. That's your inner experience because you have an expectation that things are supposed to be different. But the only way to make things different in your world, in your sphere of influence, in the 15 feet that you have around you, is for you to change, for you to be different, for you to develop your self-concept, for you to build and cultivate self-love, for you to know who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and why you're doing it, and for you to have a mission and vision for your life that is going to be impactful, not only for you, but for future generations that you have. And that's all done within your sphere of influence. Some people might say, that's just staying in your lane. It is. But when you have a mission and vision that is greater than yourself, when you give and you give that to yourself, nobody gives that to you. Nobody's going to show up. No magical fairy is going to drop a little money bag or whatever it is that you desire into your lap and say, here's your purpose. This is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Not how it works. You have to find the things that you enjoy, that you're passionate about, that you believe that you're capable of doing. And then you have to learn everything about that thing. Good morning. And then you have to take the time to learn everything about that thing. This is where you hear people talk about 10,000 hours. It takes 10,000 hours to be a master of whatever it is that you're getting into.
Yeah.
Other people have debunked that. It doesn't take 10,000 freaking hours. But it does take work. It does take effort. It does take reading books regularly. People often ask, they're like, man, you're so well-spoken and it's so easy to follow your train of thought. And it's so easy. I love your posts because they're so impactful, because they make me feel a certain way. In the way that you present yourself. Nobody taught me that. I learned that. I had to learn that. I looked at people that were doing things online and in other spaces that do public speaking, that create social media content, that desire to be impactful and to help other people. And they do it with integrity and they do it with kindness and they do it because it's meaningful to them. And that's their purpose. And that's what they gave themselves with, this purpose to help other people in new and different ways and to present information that is helpful to you. If you would only take it and take that first step with it and use it in your life, then you would begin to realize how powerful you actually are as an individual, that you can create and co-create something different for yourself than what you're currently experiencing. You just have to believe that you can. And this is where we start to talk about manifestation, and then people get lost because they're like, oh, that's spiritual bullshit. There's no such thing. And no, actually what it is, what it ends up being, this whole manifestation thing, when you read books like Think and Grow Rich, they talk about writing things down. And as you write things down, your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, your desires, and you get really specific with it, now all of a sudden you are wiring your brain to look for, through your reticular activating system, to look for, because that's the filter that everything goes through in your prefrontal cortex. You are rewiring yourself to think, act, and feel hope, wish, and desire for these things that you're now writing down. So you've had a lifetime of expecting all this bullshit to happen, right? We live in the bullshit. The bullshit sucks. It hurts. It's painful. It's tiring. It's exhausting. I made it close to 40 before I started realizing, you know what? I don't have to go through this bullshit anymore. I don't have to do it this way, that I can actually live a life that is very different than the life I'm currently living. And then you ask yourself the question, well, whose life am I living? I'm living somebody else's life. I'm living my life for somebody else to feel good about themselves and their purpose and position on this planet. Why am I doing that? Why am I living my life for somebody else like that? I should be living my life for me. The things that bring me joy, the things that I get excited about, the things that bring me hope and love and relationships. And now I've cultivated all these amazing relationships with other people, mostly people that I bring on the podcast, right? So if you follow the Blueprint podcast, you get a dose of this with all the different people that I find inspiring, the people that are, that I talk to regularly, that are in my life, that I get a lot of joy from, that I didn't know 2 years ago. I didn't know any of them. And it wasn't until I changed, and I wouldn't have had access to them. That's the other thing. You don't have access because you're not doing the things that grant you access. So I started doing the things. I started building, cultivating, learning, growing, expanding, accepting myself, recognizing that I can live in a mental prison that takes me down one particular path and ultimately off the planet, or I can begin to dive into self-discovery, self-education, and do some different things that are going to help elevate me in new and different ways. And that's a power that each one of you has, but we don't want to hear it because we're so comfortable in what's our normal. You're so comfortable in your normal that it's really hard for you to break away from that because it feels safe. It feels safe even though it's not, because you know what to expect tomorrow. You know what's coming. You can predict where you're at right now, and that brings you this sense of safety even when it's not safe, because that's your normal. And so we have to challenge what our normal is. And when you hear Hulk Hogan talking about manifestation, right, cracks me up. Freaking Hulk Hogan. You all know who he is, wrestler, right? Hulkamania. When he starts telling you about manifestation and how it works and how it impacted his life, and then you hear people like Andy Frisella and Lewis Howes, they all talk about it in a way that falls in line with Think and Grow Rich and other things that have been put out there, in terms of you've got Charles Hanel with the Mastery Key System, and all these things came out of the 1900s. If you're curious, a lot of the stuff came out of the 1900s when they started talking about the ether, when they started talking about there's something greater than ourselves that we're able to tap into and retrieve information from, almost as if we're pulling it from a cloud, right? And of course, here we are with technology now that we call it the cloud, which is ironic. And we pull information from that cloud to bring it to our phone through meditation. And they talk about meditation in many different forms over the centuries and what it looks like and how certain institutions, people reject it. But we have the studies, we have the information to support that meditation is actually really good for you. And you can call it prayer, you can call it meditation, you can call it whatever you want, but it comes down to sitting in silence without any distraction, breathing in and out through your nose, allowing yourself to relax into the body, be able to feel what's going on in the body, and ultimately be able to release the fear, the anxiety, the frustration, the irritation, the sadness, the loneliness, the depression, the anger, the isolation, and you are in the moment with yourself and you're sitting in that discomfort. And in that discomfort, you begin to move into your parasympathetic nervous system. So you're relaxing the body, you're settling into it, you're beginning to understand things about yourself and the way that you operate, and you recognize that you can use your breath to be able to pull yourself into your parasympathetic nervous system of rest and relaxation. And this becomes a practice that you do, and it increases the gray matter in your brain. It does all these wonderful and amazing things for the body. It lowers your blood pressure. And as you practice this and you do this over time, you begin to trust yourself. You dive into self-trust and you begin to tap into your inner knowing. And that's part of your self-concept of who I am, where I'm going, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And you begin to become more competent and capable. You begin to feel those feelings. That's what comes up for you. And with that confidence comes the audacity. You now have the audacity to show up as the most authentic version of yourself. And in that audacity, you create your purpose and you fall in line with what you know that you want to do with the rest of your life or in this moment to be able to be assertive and help other people and to help other people in your life. And more importantly, you've helped yourself become the version of you that you know that you already are. But you're too afraid to step into it because people are going to reject you because of it. They're going to tell you that you're not good enough or capable, that you can't do this, that you shouldn't be doing this. And they're going to be in your comment section and they're going to be telling you how awful you are, all of these things, right? They tell you all these nasty things. And don't take that personally, because what they're doing is what's coming up for them are all the things that they're not doing. What's coming up for them is the fear, the anger, the frustration, the irritation, the sadness, all the things that you were feeling months ago, weeks ago, years ago, and you started doing the work, you started putting the effort into yourself, you started creating your self-concept, and now you can see and have pity for those who do not know themselves. And every philosopher has talked about this. Do you know yourself? Do you know who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and why you're doing it? And then you don't allow people to change you. They're going to give you things. They're going to tell you things about yourself. And that's their perception of you. And you get to challenge whether that's true or not. You get to say, you know what? I don't agree with that. I can see how you would get there. I can see with the limited information that you have that you could possibly feel the way that you do. I've known you long enough to know some of your past experiences and how they contribute to who you are now as a person. And when you give me something, I get to choose whether to take that and make it part of my DNA and bring that into my soul and use that for the rest of my life. Or I can take it, I can look at it, I can evaluate it, and I can say, you know what? That's actually not for me. That's something that's for you. So you can actually keep that. I understand how you got there. And more anxious people are gonna say, now you're gaslighting somebody. No, it's called self-preservation. You are standing up for you. You are being authentic to who you are. And you live in integrity with who you are as a person. Now, this is where people get caught up, because I didn't always live in integrity. Okay. But that was in your 20s. And now you're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. Guess what? You get to change. You get to be different. And people are going to call you a hypocrite. And you're going to have to live with it, because you know what? Yeah, maybe you were a shitbird, but you're not anymore. You educated yourself. You learned. You took care of the things that you knew that you needed to take care of, and now you're a different person, and that's okay. Oh man, there's a lot of different books. So you can read Think and Grow Rich. There's The Power of Awareness by Neville Goddard. There's The Master Key System by Charles Hanel. All of these books written in the 1900s. So 1910, 1937, there's a little book called It Works. There's another one by John Randolph Price that is a 40-day prosperity plan that is faith-based and leads you into meditation or prayer daily for 40 days. So you meditate and then you would take a notebook and you write based off of the prompt. There's 10 prompts. Off those 10 prompts, you use one of those prompts every day for 40 days. So you'll go through the system four times. And after each day, after you meditate, what you're going to do is then you're going to write out what came up for you during that meditation, what experience that you had as you were going through and sitting with yourself and trying to gain that information. So what's funny about vision boards is now we're hearing a lot of people come out with some disdain towards the vision boards. And vision boards aren't for everybody, right? They can actually keep you locked in a place of procrastination, because maybe you don't believe that you're capable of creating off that vision board. And so you see these things, but then you're constantly beating yourself up over it because you haven't accomplished it yet. I haven't got there. I have this level of procrastination. There's some, you're self-abandoning in that process and you're struggling because you want to create that, but you're fearful of showing up in a way that would allow you to create that. So vision boarding works for some people, doesn't work for everybody. But if it works for you, I think that's phenomenal. I love that because it can be very inspiring to put those things up there and say, you know what? I want this and this, and it's going to happen in a year. And then again, in that process, you write these things down and you write them down in a way that you're very specific about what you want to accomplish when you want to accomplish it. And then you give yourself the how of how that's going to happen. And it can take you a couple pages to write all this stuff out to really create that plan. And then you read it every day. So now again, they talked about it in 1937, and here we are in 2024, and they knew some things that we've forgotten or we reject because it sounds woo-woo that was said in 1937, right? When you tap in to, when you use writing, you tap into the creativity part of your brain, and now all of a sudden, you feel as if you're more creative. And then you're locking in that you are capable of accomplishing this task. And you're taking away the old language and you're inserting new language around that process of what it's going to look like and how you're going to do it. And then you become firming your stance of who you are. Again, falls back to self-concept. Have you created your self-concept? So there's Think and Grow Rich is one book by Napoleon Hill. There's The Power of Awareness by Neville Goddard. There's The Master Key System by Charles Hanel. There's a book called It Works. The little red book, you can find it on Amazon. And these are just little pieces of the puzzle, right? And then the 40-Day Prosperity Plan is by John Randolph Price. It's a green book. You can get it on Amazon at like $7. But I love it. I use one of Joe Dispenza's meditations every day with it, and I freaking love it. So for those of you who are still in here, I've got the 21-Day Self-Love Challenge. I recently priced it because people are saying, you know what, it's 2024, I'm really struggling financially. I don't think I can swing the higher price point. So I reduced it significantly and made it $67. And what you get is a 21-day course that has daily affirmations. It's got a blog post to support the video that you get every day. So 21 videos, 21 blog posts, 21 daily affirmations, 21 book recommendations on top of guests that you can find both in Facebook and inside of Kajabi. And then the Facebook group is where you post homework, you interact with each other. We had 50 people sign up for it yesterday. So we have a lot of new people that have joined the 21-Day Self-Love Challenge. And so they're going to be posting because they're just starting their journey. They're just starting to dive into it. They're just starting to figure out that they need to develop a self-concept, that they need to build and cultivate self-love, that we need to allow ourselves to step into the body and to be more of who we actually are and to figure out, who am I? Who am I? How do I get there? And so that's a big part of the 21-Day Self-Love Challenge. On top of that, I have over 30 hours of content with authors, therapists, coaches, CEOs, veterans, and other people who share inspiring stories of growth and resilience. And if you don't get inspired by that, of that 30 hours of content, then I don't know what to tell you, because these people are amazing. And it's not people that you get instant access to if you were to try and message them right now. We've got Annalee Howling. She's a performance coach and EMDR therapist in the UK. She's amazing. We've got Jessica Baum, who wrote the book Anxiously Attached. That's everybody's favorite. It's been everybody's favorite podcast episode is the one with Jessica Baum, who wrote Anxiously Attached. Thousands of people have listened to that episode and have gotten a ton of value from it. She was also a part of the 21-Day Self-Love Challenge. And how amazing is that? We have Gina Maffa, who wrote the book Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go, which is a book on grief, which she talks about how we went from 2019 into 2020, and there's this grieving process that's been happening over the past 4 years that so many of us are struggling with. And so we talked a little bit about that and how to grow through the things that we're going through. And she provides some practical tools and tips in that process. So the 21-Day Self-Love Challenge, you can find it. You can go to the link in my bio. It's the first thing that pops up inside of my Stan store. And you can just sign up. It's that easy. You can also go to my Instagram. I'm at jbirdfit. That's J-B-I-R-D-F-I-T. J-B-I-R-D-F-I-T. And then I also have the Blueprint Podcast by Jason Smith. That's me. I'm Jason Smith. And I had the Holistic Psychologist on recently, which is an amazing episode. We talked about her book, How to Be the Love You Seek. And what a wonderful episode and opportunity to be able to sit down with somebody who was impactful in my life as the Holistic Psychologist and the whole self-love or self-healers movement. I absolutely love that. I believe in it. And I think it's amazing when people, not for everybody, right? I want to make sure that people know that self-healing might not be for you right now. And so you go to therapy, you go to counseling, you get a coach, you do whatever you need to do for you. But for me, that whole self-healing concept has been deeply impactful. And the reason for that is because it allows you to tap in to self-love, to tap into who you are, to tap into your authenticity, to start thinking about things in a way that leaves you feeling more empowered. You get to take your power back. That's the whole purpose behind it. And we don't talk enough about that. People love to discount things and show disdain and anger over things you don't fully understand. Instead, you should get curious. Get curious, build your self-concept, cultivate some self-love, and start giving that to the people around you in your life. And believe me, your life will change. There's no doubt about that. So if you're interested in the 21-Day Self-Love Challenge, you can just go over to my main page, click on the link in my bio, that's my Stand store. You can sign up there, and I'll see you inside of the challenge. Y'all have a great day.